Ernest, listen up. When people all around the world first started going out protesting this summer, you'd hear it over and over. This time is different. But how? And who are the people trying to make it different? In Gimlet's new podcast, Resistance, host Saeed Tijan Thomas Jr. brings us stories from the front lines of the movement for Black lives told by the generation fighting for the change. It's a show about people refusing to accept things as they are and how we can make sure this time really is different. Resistance is out now. Follow and listen for free on Spotify.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. So I'm going to jump right into it. We got an extremely special guest today. Once again, somebody that, so we, if you listen to the podcast, you know we interviewed Al Harrington, right? Yeah. And Al Harrington was somebody that we wrote a post about.
Yeah.
And then from that post, he, you know, engaged with us. And then we reached out to him and we went to LA and we actually had a conversation with him, right? Yeah. On the podcast. So once again, similar situation, right?
You want to get the backstory on this?
The power of social media.
Yeah. The power of social media, for sure.
This is the, you know, standard procedure for us is like, I'll read articles at 5:30 in the morning. I think we spoke about that on when we were with Q. And I'll go through articles and I'll find, you know, things that are very interesting and I think would relate on our page. And I came across this article about Brandon Copeland. And I'm like, wait, wow, this guy's amazing. And literally, as I'm reading it, there's a special on SportsCenter. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. This guy is on the same path as us. We have to meet this guy. We have to talk to this guy. And I sent it to you like 5:30 in the morning. I know you're sleeping, but I'm like, he has to see this. And as soon as you woke up, you put the post up and the traction was crazy.
Yeah, it was one of our biggest posts. So Brandon Copeland, if you're not familiar, he plays for the Jets, but that's only part of his story. He is a UPenn graduate. If anybody's not familiar, UPenn has one of the best business schools in the world, yep. The Wharton School of Business. So that's, you know, separates him from a lot of NFL players. But also, he works on Wall Street during the offseason. He has a real estate investment company, and he actually is a college professor at Wharton.
Shout out to education.
So when I was reading his story, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we highlight the bad things when, you know, people make mistakes in any realm, but it seems like athletes always get highlighted the most, right? Anytime that it's a domestic violence, anything like that happens. So it's like, we need to highlight this. Like, this is just a dope story. So I put the story out, and once again, I put in the story, I'm like, yo, I would love to connect with you. And he was like, yeah, let's connect.
So I was like, what? Yes.
So I shot him a DM. And we worked it out via, you know, emails. And now we're here. He's on our podcast. So like you said,
The
power of social media. So first and foremost, thank you, man.
Thank you for coming, man. It's
a pleasure to be here. Yeah. Pleasure to be with y'all. I love what y'all are doing, man.
Thank you, man. We're going to jump right into it. So, all right. So the theme of our show is the backstory, the financial side of sports and entertainment business as well. But we really focus on sports and entertainment a lot because we feel like, especially in our culture, people don't fully understand what goes on behind the scenes, right? Like, everybody wants to be in the NBA, NFL, or sell a million records, but they don't understand that these are businesses, right? It's the sports business, the music business, the entertainment business, right?
Yeah, that part gets left off the title.
It always does. So, you have a very interesting story, and we was reading it, you know, the last couple of days. So you said your first contract, correct me if I'm wrong, your contract was $1.2 million, right?
Yeah.
But by the time it was all said and done, you had like 35, 40,000, right?
Yeah.
Can we just kind of break that down? Cause to me, it's interesting as far as like NFL players, because you have an off season. So a lot of people aren't familiar. Like, do you get paid on the off season or how frequent do you get paid? And then there's a thing called a jock tax where you go to different states and you get taxed differently. It's not all guaranteed. So can you kind of just break that down?
Yeah, man, there's layers to that. Layers. So so the way I think of the NFL is nothing is guaranteed unless you have certain stipulations within your contract and all of that type of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those players, which is, you know, more players are seeing that, that's a great thing and a blessing to have. But when you see these big contracts, you know, Russell Wilson, $140 million, I can't remember how much guaranteed, maybe 65 or something.
Yeah, 65,
guaranteed,
yeah.
Right? That's what he can bank on, right? You see the big number, but if Russell Wilson gets hurt in year four, year five, whatever, right, he's not seeing the rest of that money potentially. Yeah, so that's different from basketball. That's different from baseball. And other sports. So as I entered the league in 2013, I was undrafted out of the University of Pennsylvania. I remember the Baltimore Ravens called me, my hometown team. I'm like, man, actually, to be quite honest with you, I was pissed off, right? Not because I was pissed off that I didn't get drafted. That was really what it was, right? And it just had a big chip on my shoulder. So for me, I've been fortunate to just have this lens on life and perspective where I'm not really a fan of too much or anyone. So I remember as a rookie entering the locker room, and this is my hometown team. These are the guys I looked up to growing up, and I remember...
This is fresh off a Super Bowl.
Fresh off a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I remember actually, you know what? A perfect story that might describe me is my agent at the time, he took us out right before the draft, took us out in New York to some club up there to just celebrate that night before the draft of like all the work you put in and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, like I said, I grew up in Baltimore, that purple and black, you know. I remember being in the house and seeing them, you know, win the Super Bowl and bragging to all my roommates and all that type of stuff, wearing that with pride. And in the club, that for me was like my introduction to the NFL, even though I wasn't even in it at the time. But you had all of these different that was when the draft was still in New York. So you had all these different rappers and in different sections. My agent had gotten us a section. I wasn't spending any money. us a section. And the other guys there, well, you had Adrian Peterson with a section, Ludacris across the way, Jeezy, and there was Ray Rice. And I remember Ray Rice walked up, and I remember speaking to him, and I'm like, yo, I just want to say, you know, you really put on for the city. Like, that was amazing what y'all did, man. Like, I appreciate you, respect you. But in a couple of days, like, I'm going to be in the NFL too. So.
It's on. Yeah,
ain't none of that fan stuff no more, right? Like, we competition, right? Like, but before that, I want to tell you how much I respect you. So anyway, I say all that to say that, you know, a few days later, I get the call, go to the Ravens, had that chip on my shoulder. But the weird thing about the NFL is, like I said, I've been blessed to be able to keep things in a perspective and understand that, okay, I just got this call that says, hey, you get a chance to sign up and you're a Baltimore Raven now. No, I'm not. Right. Like, there's still another step to actually make the 53 or to make practice squad or
make the roster,
whatever. Right. Yeah. Sadly, there's a lot of guys who are like, oh, I'm in it. Nah, right? Like, the next week you might be cut, or after this rookie mini camp you might be cut, right? So at that time, again, like I said, I signed a 3-year, $1.2 million deal. However, I got cut going into the actual season, made it all through preseason and all that stuff, got cut going into the actual season, and I jumped my money down to a practice squad guy. After 4 weeks, I got cut from Baltimore, so I really got 4 weeks of pay. And then, again, I mean, there were guys who got cut in the middle of training camp. There was guys who got cut after 3 days.
So,
you know?
So there's a process after you get drafted, right?
Exactly.
Because that's even a little confusing, right? There's OTAs that you have to make, the team.
Yep.
Then there is training camp that you have to make the team.
Yeah.
Then you got four preseason games and still try to make the team?
Right. So the way I would think of it is you're never really on the team. You know, depending on who you are, you're never really on the team. Like, I even joke with my students this semester and even right now, like, I could get this phone call start ringing, they could call, be like, listen, Kobe, like, you bring your iPad up here, like, we're going in a different route, right?
Oh,
and that's just the nature of the beast. So, like you said, every single day, I mean, they always say that every day is an interview, but, like, literally, like, I think people don't understand that. Again, depending on who you are, right? Your first round, second round, you probably are guaranteed that first year, right? But that doesn't mean you're guaranteed 3 years from now, 4 years from now, right? And that's you just hope and pray that young guys come in and understand that. And me, fortunately, I understood it. It was what motivated me to want to be great and make the team and still be here 7 years later, right? Yeah. But for a lot of guys, like I remember rookie year, some guys would go to this mall across the street from our hotel, and I remember getting on Snapchat. Snap was like big at the time. And getting on there, and they literally walking in there, selfie videos, stunting, like, hey, we about to such and such. And I'm like, bro, y'all all making the same thing I'm making right now, which is like maybe $150 after the week.
So all right. So you had a $1.2 million contract.
Yeah.
But then you, 4 weeks in, you got demoted to practice team, right?
Now, so you get drafted or undrafted in the spring. So like our rookies just showed up this weekend. So where we may, whatever we are, right? Now we train, and you can be, there's guys being cut, there's guys being signed that entire time, like that roster is fluctuating. And then by the time you get to training camp, you start training camp in late July with 90 guys on the roster. Mm-hmm. That roster fluctuates a bit. And then by the end of August, beginning of September, that roster cuts down to 53.
Yeah.
And then on top of that 53, you have 10 practice squad guys. I made it from that May all the way through to August. I got cut, became one of those practice squad guys where your salary goes from a minimum of like $430,000 to $100,000. And then 4 weeks later, 4 weeks into the season, that's when I got released from the team.
And that's in Baltimore.
That's in Baltimore.
So none of that $1.2 million was guaranteed?
None.
None of it?
Not even I wish.
It looks good on paper, though.
It looks good. It sounds yeah. good. So that's also that's the problem. That you see that headline, and then the vultures come get it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Family, everybody.
Because now it's like on paper, he's a millionaire.
Yeah. Right.
So, but that's interesting. I think people don't fully understand that. Like, I can't drive that home. All right, you got a $1.2 million contract. None of it was guaranteed. You probably netted, how much did you net probably out of that?
Probably like 30, maybe.
That's how much you made?
From the Baltimore Ravens, probably like 30. Because in the spring, I made money in the spring. So, like, right now, you might be making maybe a couple hundred a week because they take your hotel and stuff.
Oh, the team doesn't cover it?
They cover it, but it's coming out of
your team
type of thing. Wow. They cover it.
Wow.
But you just don't know, you know.
Yeah.
You don't really have a – yeah. Anyway, so you make them maybe a few hundred a week, and they cover your meals and all that stuff on the weekend, so you don't really have too many expenses. But then as you get to preseason, now you're making, I want to say, $700 a week before taxes. So, you know, and that's what, maybe 5 to 6 weeks. So you really like four, you know, who knows what that is, $400 a week after all the stuff is done?
Dollars.
Yeah, dollars. Yeah, yeah, yeah. $400.
Like, no doubt. I'll be confused.
And then once the season hits, as a practice squad guy, I was seeing about $4,000 after taxes. I think my check was like $7,000, $7,500 per week before, so about $4,000 after. And I did that for 4 weeks, so that's about $16,000 right there. So I probably made a little less than $30,000 from the Baltimore Ravens. And then 2 weeks later, I got cut week four. 2 weeks later, I got picked up by the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
Practice squad with them for a bunch of weeks. Mm-hmm. I got cut by them. A lot of people don't know this, too. It's like in my family, they understand, and it's so funny that so at Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern is when your money is guaranteed for the week. So for me and the way that my career has been, and I'm not superstitious, but I have certain things. I have my routine. My family knew, don't call me Tuesday after 4 p.m. Eastern, right? So, and where does that come from? Like, I've been cut at 3:56 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. So you don't get paid?
Don't get paid.
Wow.
So if you get cut at 4:01 p.m., I'm paid for that week. So when I was in Baltimore, they cut me on Wednesday morning. because they were like, hey, we plan on bringing you back. Yeah. You know, we're showing good faith. You know, we like you, all that type of stuff. We just need to make some other roster changes, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, take the time off. You know, go work, stay in shape. But we'll bring you back this week. Then, you know, still waiting on that. but in Tennessee, one time, these dudes, man, it's funny. I went and did like a whole charity event for them. We went to a high school and, you know, in Tennessee Titans jerseys and all that type of stuff. And on the way, not even on the way back, later on that evening, I had some rehab set up, a massage appointment, and it's 3:56. I get the call. I'm like, this random Tennessee number. Pick up the phone. Hey, man, we need you to bring in your man, y'all knew this before you sent me on the event.
They sent you on the whole charity event and all that, and then they waited 4 minutes before the deadline to cut you so you don't get paid for the week.
4 minutes.
What about the massage? You had to cancel it or not?
To be quite honest with you, I told myself, I was like, I probably should cancel this thing because I don't know when that next check could come.
Right, right.
Like, you know what? Hey, man, you got to I probably need it right now, you know? I probably need to just relax. So, So my family literally – they would know, don't call me on Tuesday. So literally at 4:01, so years later, 4:01 p.m., whenever I was good, I'd send them a bunch of gifts, a bunch of Floyd Mayweather throwing money, somebody throwing money, we count, making it rain, and all that type of stuff. And then after you get to year five, once that ball is kicked off in your first NFL game, then you're guaranteed your salary for the whole year. So, like, last year, that was my first year.
For veterans, is year five now, you're a veteran.
Yeah, so last year was my first year having that. Yeah. So after that first game, I just sent them, like, 16 different ones. But it's a lot of that goes into it. Basically, you know, what you're getting at is there's a lot that goes into it that people don't think about, they don't understand. Yes, you see that big contract, you see that big number, and that is great, right? But what are you really getting from that one? You got a 50% of it's gone
off the rip. Can we talk? Yeah, I'll talk about that because people don't fully understand how taxes work, right? And they're like, well, you should set up corporations. I'm like, they're employees, they get paid just like how you get paid, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't have an opportunity to defer the income. it's not an option, right?
Your boss ain't going for that,
exactly. So, because social media, a lot of times people write that like, well, if they were smart. I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Just like if you were smart, you would do that, right? No, you don't have that option. So automatically 50%, because you know how your tax bracket, automatically 50% goes to taxes.
Gone.
Yeah.
Off the rip. Depending on what state you're in, it's even higher.
Right.
Then the state tax, they take that out of your paycheck every time you get paid in that particular
Yep. They'll do that if you plan in California, so you look at the schedule, you're like, dang, I got three games in California. Right.
West Coast trip.
That, you know, you get taxed at that California rate. That's 13% gone.
And it's crazy because Rod Smith, shout out to Rod Smith. He's been a loyal follower from the beginning. Yeah. And anybody that doesn't know Rod Smith, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Not yet, but a legend in Denver.
Denver
Broncos wide receiver.
Denver legend. So yeah. I put a post up a while ago, and me and him, we was commenting. He was like, yeah, but people don't realize is that all right, California has the highest state tax in the country, right? Mm-hmm. Like 13%, like you said. Mm-hmm. But let's say you play for Miami Dolphins, Florida, right? Which Florida has no state income tax, right? So what happens is that you might practice in Florida from Monday to, let's say, Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. When do you fly out for a Sunday game?
Saturday.
So you practice from Monday to Saturday in Florida. You are in you're in California for Saturday and Sunday. Maybe like Monday morning early. So you only spend 2 days in California, but the whole week is taxed in California because that's where you played the game at.
Yeah.
So even though you prepared, like you might only spend 48 hours in that particular state and you practiced in the state that you actually live in, but it doesn't matter. You played that game in that state. So for the whole week, that whole week's paycheck is taxed in California.
Crazy. Yeah.
So you guys play Jersey state tax or is it Jersey state tax, right? Because that's what y'all play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if New York trying to take a little bit of that too.
I'm thinking like,
New York can't take none of that. But I wouldn't be surprised. Trust me, I'd have seen a lot. I've seen, like you said, so when we play a team in Texas, it's like, okay, cool, right? Yeah. London games, London international taxes, they cost a bit too, right?
Oh, wow.
Florida teams, you know, you see Miami or Tampa Bay on your schedule, you're like, yes, Tennessee, you know, cool. Another thing, you know, a few years ago, there was a guy in the locker room when I was in Detroit. Detroit, they have the city tax and the state tax. So they'll tax you in Michigan and then they'll tax you in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Now, when we, so one guy got very, very smart. His financial advisor, accountant, got very, very smart with it. Because again, like you said, if you guys are going to play the game with me of like, okay, hey, I'm only here for 24 hours. You know, sometimes we fly in at 5 p.m. We out the next day at 5 p.m. after the game kickoffs at 1. You know, I'm only here for 24 hours. You're going to tax me for the whole week. I remember his issue was Detroit was taking tax every single week as if we trained there, played there, and all that stuff. Like, we were there for the whole week. So when we played with the Lions, our facility is in Allen Park. The stadium is in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's like a 20-minute ride, but Detroit was trying to take taxes as if you were there every single day. They'll actually literally break down the days and be like, well, you know, you were here 100 and such and such days. So he was like, no, okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually only there out of the, what, 8 home games. I'm there Saturday night when we stay at the team hotel, and I'm there Sunday when we play. So them 180 days, nah, you got 16 of them, right? And so he ended up going back and getting some money from Detroit on that.
So the interesting thing is, like, the way your mind's working right now, you're like, if I play in Texas, right, if I play in the Cowboys or the Texans, I know there's no state tax. How many of your counterparts have that same mind frame?
I think a lot do. Because, I mean, at that point, you're talking about thousands, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're not talking about, like, you're talking about the difference in, you know, depending on what you're making, you're talking about the difference in like six extra grand by playing somewhere else versus, you know, well, I mean, some guys, I mean, the way they're getting paid, some guys, you're talking a good 15, 20 grand difference, right? So guys are thinking about it. Again, you know, not to take up all y'all time, but there's different things that people out there just don't understand, like, the fact of, like, you have to have multiple places of residency, see, right? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes, like, you literally just have to. And I've never wanted to be that guy having, like, I'm a frugal person, right? I'm cheap. Okay, that's cool with me, right? I have no problem. I'm proud of it. But, like, I have a home base here in New Jersey. When my wife and I, when I was playing in Detroit, she works in Manhattan, and she's from here. We had home base here. So now, play with the Jets, I'm like, man, okay, like, we can just have home base, like, and that's the crib.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Home base for me is 45 minutes away from here in no traffic. So if I wake up in the morning and it's raining hard, I remember my first day trying to come in and reporting to the Jets, it was raining hard, and my drive went from 45 minutes, no traffic, and this is like 6:30 in the morning, right, to an hour and 15 minutes. Now, people are like, oh, well, just wake up early and all that type of stuff. Well, guess what? If you're late to your job, you get a slap on the wrist, right? Your boss, you know, at a certain point, you can't keep being late. You get fired.
Yeah.
But for me, if I'm late, that's a $13,000 fine, right? Wow. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like, yeah, I'll go ahead and, so last year, I had to rent a place. I have a house 40 minutes from here, and I mean, some people might be like, well, you didn't have to. No, like, for me, I had to rent a place 7 minutes.
It's not worth the risk.
Right. It's not worth the risk. It's not worth being a few minutes late. And then also, it's just the cost of doing business, yeah, right?
You're going to travel at 45 minutes. I mean, it's just,
yeah, 45 minutes when I'm, like I told people, it's an investment as well, right? Like 45 minutes, that's 45 minutes I could be working on my body, getting ready for the next week's game. That's 45 minutes that somebody is literally watching film on just how am I going to whoop Brandon Copeland this week, right? Mm-hmm. And I need that 45 minutes to make sure I'm prepared for him as well. So there's a bunch of different costs. You know, guys talk about transporting vehicles back and forth, right? Like, I live in California, but, you know, I'm my home base. I'm born and raised in California. I have everything over there, but now I'm with the Jets, right? How's my vehicle getting back and forth? Or am I going to Uber it every day? Or am I going to walk every day, bike every day? What about when it's snowy? So right. Do I need to pay to transport it back, a car back and forth? Do I need to rent a car? Do I need to buy a car? Some of these costs that we see guys with, we're like, you know, we just assume like, oh, this guy, he's being extra. He's doing it, you know. Yeah. But some of this stuff is just a cost of like convenience and doing business at a high level, right? And that, you know, again, it's not a woe is us, right? I'm thankful to have those type of problems as opposed to others. But, you know, those are costs that you just can't escape from.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.